23 or 24. And that's 10 times Jesus said the number needed for him to be in the midst, where two or three are gathered. So praise the Lord. It's great to be home after 2 years to preach again with one of my favorite preachers in the world. Let's turn to the Psalms. We're going to read one verse from one psalm, and we'll turn to a second psalm and read one verse from the second one. Psalm 34, verse 4. You think you need to ask my permission? Well, I'm long over that habit.
And Brother Mark, too, because I think we've come for this purpose. So we're not anxious for a... Yeah, Brother Johnny's bad about that. He'll get up there and preach a 20-minute sermon because he thinks that I want to talk about it. We're good to hear from you, brother.
All right. Brother Mark, so. Good. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. And then Psalm 56. Verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. The ESV says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in You. I want us to think tonight about fear or faith. Because generally in our lives, living this Christian life is either one or the other oftentimes. We face such difficulty at times, we will either respond with fear or in faith. And the first one is kind of a natural thing because we're fallen. The second, faith, is more difficult, isn't it? Natural inclination, you feel fear about something. It's not a natural inclination to suddenly feel faith in something. That has to be labored for. That has to be laid hold of, doesn't it? And why faith has to lay hold of us when God has mercy on us and gives us faith to face a situation where courage will rise and fear will go down. So I want us to think tonight about overcoming fear through the only avenue, the only means that will ever conquer fear, and that's faith in the living God. I remember Conrad, first time I ever heard him, he made a startling statement. You ever heard Conrad Murrell make a startling statement? And he said, love is the greatest subject of the Bible. Christ is the greatest person in the Bible, but the most important subject of the Bible is faith. Because he said, because you ain't getting the love of God or Christ except with faith, through faith. Most important, maybe it is. And we're called, we're justified by faith, we're the just live by faith. And so faith has been a big battle for me. I think because of so much history of disappointments, heartaches, facing difficult things. Edmund Burke said this, no human passion so much robs our mind of acting and thinking rightly as fear. No human passion so much robs our mind of acting and thinking rightly as much as fear does. And fear is the beginning of defeat. Think of how often the Lord Jesus addressed this thing of fear. They're in the boat, and the storm's raging. They're scared to death. Experienced fishermen. He calms the storm. What does he say to them? Why were you afraid? Now, if you'd have been there, what would you have said? Duh! What do you mean, why am I afraid? That's like you bet your whole future savings on a one-on-one game with LeBron James. You're going to win? Why do you think I'm afraid? But Jesus cuts right to the heart of our lives and asks us, why are you afraid? What do you fear? What are you fearing right now? Fear is the beginning of defeat, and fear is the fruit of unbelief, because the Lord Jesus connected the two. Nothing can cure us of fear until faith, or the Spirit of God through faith, deals with and cures our unbelief. Now, I want you to think of the reality of fear tonight. And I want you to think about, what's the biggest battle you have with fear? You know what mine is often? I get burdened by this. I get almost depressed sometimes for a little window of time. I feel dread come on me about this. You know what my big battle with fear is? Leaving my children and grandchildren in this world without me. But then I think, I guess the Lord can't handle it when I'm gone. He's going to wring his hands. Tomlinson's removed from the earth. His descendants can't make it now because he's gone. I mean, what stupid things we struggle with, right? But that's been one that's made me dread coming to the end of life. But I think about my own life. My mother died when I was 2. My father died when I was 8. My cousin took me in and raised me. And here I am by the grace of God. So the Lord knows how to take care of things that we can't take care of. And how historical, think of this, how historically, universally, fear is an issue. Every person in history except the Lord Jesus Christ has had the disease or the sin of fear. And right now there are fears that try to rob us. John Flavel said, it cannot be said of anyone that he or she is without fear. Even the most courageous have fear at times. So tonight, you think about, what is your greatest battle with fear? We fear things, don't we? What do you fear? We fear people, we fear the future, we fear crowds, we fear speaking in front of others. When I was in high school and I had to give a speech in speech class, I'd get sick at my stomach. I couldn't even answer a question out loud in class without fearing everybody's opinion in class. We fear all kinds of things. People fear clowns. They fear the dark. They fear dolls. I've had to stay in, sometimes when I've been preaching, they'll put me in a guest room and house, and it'll be lined with dolls, and they're all sitting there staring at me. So I'm getting ready to go to bed. And it's a weird deal, isn't it? I mean, fear, we can fear the weirdest things. Snakes. My granddaughter doesn't fear snakes, but she fears spiders. One of our elders' wives has no fear of spiders, but she fears snakes horribly. Any of you know who James White is? You've heard of James White. He was at our church 2 years ago last May, and he lives in Phoenix, where I don't think there's ever been a tornado in Phoenix. But Mother's Day, Sunday, he had been with our church for the weekend. He was at our house for lunch, and a tornado's coming to den. It's springtime, right? Tornadoes come in North Texas from the southwest to the northeast. They travel, and they sounded the sirens. We're sitting down to get ready to have lunch, and the siren goes off, and Linda's checking the weather. James White's quickly He's a master at that stuff. And there's a tornado touching down on the southwest corner of Denton, and it lifts off the ground, and it's low, traveling right over the city, and it's going to be coming right over our neighborhood. And James White tries to keep his cool, but you could tell he's not. He'd never been in one. He said, "Well, where do we go? What do we do?" And Linda said, "Well, we get some mattresses and we cover ourselves up in the hall." He said, "Is that all?" I said, "Yeah, we don't have basements here. So you pray and you trust God and you just take cover. You don't get in by an outside wall." Well, tornado passed right over. But he had to face that fear, had to experience it, right? And so we often battle so many fears, and sometimes when we face things suddenly, and fear comes over us suddenly like a fog, and it's there, you can't do anything about it. Job security, your future, how you're going to die, when you're going to die, where you're going to die, how are we going to provide, what about this, what about that? Everything tries to produce unbelief and fear in us. So, I remember in the 1970s, right after Lynn and I had gotten married, we were in West Texas. We came back to Fort Worth where I had been in school. And we were staying in a friend's house. The house was, no one lived there, but we were staying there. And the first night we were there, I woke up and I heard this clearly loud noise in the house. I didn't know the house. I didn't know the neighborhood. I didn't know my way around the house. I didn't even know where the light switches were. This clear noise, I said, somebody's in this house trying to steal stuff. And I just froze. What do I do? And so I laid there and tried to go back to sleep. A couple hours later, I don't know, maybe 4 hours later, hear the same noise again. And so I waited out in the morning. We were in the kitchen, and suddenly same noise happens. It was the ice maker dropping ice. That was the enemy that was going to hurt me in the house that night. I mean, isn't it amazing that things that aren't even real, that don't even exist, aren't even real, they rob us and attack us, putting fear in us. But Scripture says that faith is the only response to fear. It really is. Because you can reason your way through it. You can try to talk yourself out of it. You can get paralyzed by it and be passive and do nothing and just let it work you over. Or you can respond as the Christian is told to respond with faith in the living God. Paul said, God raised Christ from the dead that our faith and hope might be in God. We are justified by faith. We're sanctified by faith. We're to live by faith. We're to walk in faith. And what is faith? It's not intellectual assent. It's trust. It's an active trust in the one we've never seen, whom we love, whom we know. Our hearts must trust Him in the face of anything we're tempted to fear. Trust is dependence. And this is the heart of true Christianity. Christ is the object of our faith, and faith is the means by which we lay hold of Christ in any situation. Now, let's think about this tonight, and because it's really important. What's the nature of a Christian's trust in God? What characterizes living by faith? Because the things we fear will haunt us. Job said, "That which I greatly feared has come upon me." I don't know what all Job meant by that or what he went through, but apparently he had fears that he had to face in his dilemma, in his difficulty. And fears, whether we ever face them outwardly, we ought to face them in our hearts through faith and not let them haunt us and defeat us. So what characterizes a believer's trust in God? True faith, first of all, it's a difficult thing. It's difficult to trust a person you've never seen, even though you've come into a relationship with him. William Jay, the English pastor, said, "It is no easy thing for a person whose conscience is truly awakened to trust in one that he can't see, who he has sinned against, and especially to trust him not only for pardon of sin, but for acceptance, for salvation, for daily provision, for our future, for taking care of us, and getting us all the way up to heaven." Isn't faith a battle for you at times? To trust God daily, weekly, month in and month out, to trust Him for the future when you don't know what the future holds. Faith is a difficult thing at times because we fear, naturally, and we tend to trust in ourselves or in others instead of the Lord. So faith's difficult. But it's also practical in that faith is a daily thing. It's a daily response. Daily seeking the Lord, walking with Him, trusting Him, obeying. You know, we can tempt God in 1,000 ways, but we can only trust God one way, and that's through faith and dependence. Faith is practical because it brings us, moment by moment, as we trust the Lord, it brings us to Him. And it's perpetual, it's continual. Scripture tells us, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your hearts before Him. Faith is extensive. That means we're to trust Him in all things, in every circumstance, in our marriage, in our home, in our parenting, in our children, with what we're facing when the most difficult circumstances come, for every need, in every opportunity, in all things, for with our past, with our present, with our future. We have to trust the Lord. And so, I have come to the conviction over the years that most of my struggles, and I think many of the struggles of most Christians, are rooted in unbelief. Can a Christian give in to unbelief? Absolutely. We can be in unbelief where we're looking at the waves and our hearts fear, and that dictates to our emotions and it dictates and tries to control our response rather than looking away to the Lord and believing His promises. Faith responds to what God has said, not to the waves of the sea. And most of our struggles are rooted in unbelief because at that moment our eyes are not on Christ and we are choosing fear instead of trust. But think of the promises of God. Think of a few promises God has already said to us. I am with you to the end of the age. I will never what? Leave you nor forsake you. So why would we fear the future if we believe what our Heavenly Father has said? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Fear not. I am the one who helps you. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God has not given us a spirit of fear, John said, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Perfect love casts what out? Casts out fear. And Jesus would say to individuals, do not fear, only believe. Only believe what I've said. He was telling them, believe what I've told you instead of your fears. Active trust must replace our fear in any situation. Active faith. Turning to the truth, turning to the promises, turning to Christ Himself must be our response instead of giving in to fear. Now think about Philippians 4:6. What does it say? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, what? By prayer and supplication, what? With thanksgiving, what? Let your requests be made known to God. That's pretty just, you talk about practical. Don't give in to anxiety about anything. Instead, pray about everything with thanksgiving and let your requests be made known to God. And what does the rest of it say? And the peace of God, which passes human understanding, will guard, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So there's two choices there. Be anxious for nothing or pray with thanksgiving. Two choices before us. Anxiety and fear or prayer and faith and trust. What will fear accomplish? Defeat? Misery? Ulcers? What all will fear produce? It produces misery, depression. But what will faith accomplish? Bringing us in fresh connection with Christ, the peace of God. And faith through prayer with thanksgiving. When we feel fear, one of the texts we read, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. It's a choice, brothers and sisters, it really is. When you feel gripped with fear, you can choose to turn to the Lord and say, Father, you know what I feel right now. I'm going to trust you. 4 years ago, I had another open heart surgery. And I had 6 weeks to get ready for it. I probably told this 2 years ago, but it doesn't matter. You forgot it, so I'll tell it again. And when I found that out again that I had to go through it again, I was gripped with fear. And it was a battle. 6 weeks I had to wait. The first one I had to wait 12 hours, so that was kind of easier. But 6 weeks, that thing will gnaw on you. And I told the Lord, I said, Father, it was rough going through that. But you're with me. And you've told me not to fear. So I'm asking you to give me promises that are real in these next 6 weeks that I can cling to when I feel the fear. In Psalm 56:3, I didn't go searching for them in my daily readings. Over the next 2 or 3 weeks, a couple of them hit me. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And Psalm 56:3 was the most life-giving one. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. That became my life preserver. I grabbed on that thing, and when I came out of that surgery and I was groggy and felt claustrophobic and miserable, and I couldn't talk, I couldn't think clearly, and I had fear hit me, that scripture came to my mind, and I prayed it in my heart. I'm telling you, all week, the peace of God replaced my fear. And 6 days after the surgery in the room, one of the nurses said to me, your room is the most peaceful room on the whole floor. What? Why? So Linda and I got to share with them. And I'm telling you what, if we will learn to discipline ourselves in dependence upon Christ with the promises of God and take the promises to our fears, the shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Taking the shield of what? Faith. So, taking up the shield of faith that you may be able to quench, that means stop and kill the fiery darts. There is no greater, more constant demonic dart or wile, the wiles of the devil, than fear. And faith in Christ will dissolve and conquer the fears that try to come on us. Psalm 34, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Fear springing up from unbelief really is an idolatry because it is directly denying who God is and what He's promised in the situation. that we're in. We fear things here so much because we often believe God so little daily as far as keeping the promises of God real in our heart. The moment of fear is the time to flee and trust. Flee to the Lord. But it took me years for me to learn by defeat and getting tired of it that when I felt fear, I didn't have to be defensive and passive and just let it come on me. I could actually pray and get on the offensive and believe what God has said about His promises and apply it. Maurice Roberts, a Scottish pastor, said, "Fear or panic," this is really good, "fear or panic is the sinful failure to apply our knowledge of God to particular problems." Fear or panic is a sinful failure to apply our knowledge of God to particular problems. Now think about that. You have a problem arise, you have a challenge, you have a big issue, a big circumstance. We fear or we panic about that issue, and it's because we're not applying the truth of God to the particular problem we're fearing. As the hymn writer said, "This only can my fears control and bid my sorrows fly. What harm can ever reach my soul beneath my Father's eye?" What harm? Leonard Ravenel used to say, "Do we think our life is a football for the devil to kick around? Or can we believe, will we believe, that nothing can touch us except through our sovereign God's permission to come to our lives? What harm that your Father doesn't want to touch you can ever reach you?" Paul asks and answers it in Romans 8, doesn't he? Can tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, death, life, things present, things to come? He says nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let's just make some application here a little bit. If we're honest, fear is an ongoing battle for most of us. You've ever seen that TV commercial, "What's in your wallet?" What fears are in your heart? We cringe thinking about them. We're uncomfortable facing them. But tonight, maybe before you go to bed, sit down and say, "What do I really fear? What haunts me? What bothers me? What am I afraid of?" And name it. And tell the Lord about it. What fear have you never done that? You've never actually brought it out loud to the Lord in prayer and named it and said, "Father, this is an enemy of my soul, and I want to trust you about this." That's the path to begin to get peace and victory. We must face them. We must face every fear in the fear of the Lord. Remember Winston Churchill, what he said isn't true. The only thing to fear is what? Fear itself. We don't have to fear fear itself. Because fears of the enemy. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So we must realize this and go to war in our sanctification with this enemy of fear. And the things Russell might battle in fear, Claire won't, and vice versa. You have yours. The enemy customizes fears to try to rob us and get us. And so we must realize this, because the truth is the Bible promises we can be set free from fear robbing us. Christ wants to set His people free from fear. Over and over and over again, He said, "Fear not. Fear not." Only grace. through our believing the promises of God. And the power of the Holy Spirit in life can deliver us from fear. Remember, the Bible says the fear of man's a snare. And Psalm 23 even addresses this. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Somebody said, we should let our fears drown in God's promises. And we certainly can believe that if we will actively appropriate and feed on the promises of God, faith will come to us and faith will dissolve fears. Hebrews speaks about people who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You ever hear about the lawyer named William Odd? He got teased all his life about his last name. Hey, Oddball. He disliked his name his whole life. So he became a successful attorney. And he told his wife after his retirement, now, here's what I want. I don't want my name on my headstone. I just want you to make it say, here lies an honest lawyer. He dies, the headstone's there. A couple walks by, and the woman says, dear, look, that's Odd. His fears followed him right to the grave. Or what fears of yours are going to follow you to the grave? Christ, I'm telling you tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit who dwells in you, can overcome whatever is the fear that robs you. He can kill it. There's a hymn we used to sing in Denton. I don't know, you remember what song it's in. I think that hymn is Begone Unbelief. Begone unbelief, my Savior is near, and shall for relief shall surely appear. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. Now I don't smile at the storm yet. Jonathan Edwards, they say, used to, when lightning storms would happen and lightning was flashing, he would take walks. One night, a storm came up, and I said, well, I'll go outside and see. It didn't last long. It's a nerve-wracking thing to be outside when the lightning is flashing. And so, I didn't have the faith of Edwards. Maybe that was presumption. But faith can conquer what God has promised we're to overcome. And I know this. Whether it's my fears of something or the biggest ones that you battle that nobody knows about, Christ will give you grace to overcome it if you will actively mortify. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me and delivered me from all my fears. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. You young people, girls, I don't see any young boys in here. What things ever try to make you afraid? Tell Jesus about it. Go to Him. He is worthy of our trust. And He invited little children to come to Him. And you can learn to trust the Lord with everything you feel, everything you fear, everything you go through. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Let's pray. Father, You know our hearts. You know our need. You know our battles. You know our struggles. Apply your word in our hearts right where it's needed. And grant us the grace to be more active in mortifying fear. Help us to kill it when it raises its ugly head. Help us to respond with the truth of God, with the promises of God. Help us to flee to Christ, who is our refuge and our deliverer and our help and our stronghold. Lord, bless your word to our hearts and change us, we ask. In Christ's name, amen.